second, third canto, chapter 16, text number 36. Tayorasura yoradhya tejasayamayorhivaha akshiptam tejayetarhi bhagavamstat vidhitsati. Purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. It is the prowess of these twin asuras, demons, that has disturbed you, for it has minimized your power. There is no remedy within my power, however, for it is the Lord Himself who desires to do all this. Purport. Although Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, formerly Jai and Vijay, became asuras, the demigods of this material world could not control them. And therefore, Lord Brahma said that neither he nor all the demigods could counteract the disturbance they created. They came within the material world by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he alone could counteract such disturbances. In other words, although Jaya and Vijay assumed the bodies of asuras, they remained more powerful than anyone, thus proving that the Supreme Personality of Godhead desired to fight, because the fighting spirit is also within him. He is the original in everything. But when he desires to fight, he must fight with a devotee. Therefore, by his desire, only were Jaya and Vijay cursed by the Kumaras. The Lord ordered the gatekeepers to go down to the material world to become his enemies, so that he could fight with them, and his fighting desires would be satisfied by the service of his personal devotees. Brahma showed the demigods that the situation created by the darkness for which they were disturbed, that was the desire of the Supreme Lord. He wanted to show that even though these two attendants were coming in the form of demons, they were very powerful, greater than the demigods who could not control them. No one can surpass the acts of the Supreme Lord. The demigods were also advised not to try to counteract this incident because it was ordered by the Lord. Similarly, anyone who is ordered by the Lord to perform some action in this material world, especially preaching his glories, cannot be counteracted by anyone. The will of the Lord is executed under all circumstances. Hare Krishna. We are reading from the chapter Jai and Vijay cursed by the sages. Brahma is speaking to the devatas. He is telling them that these two powerful asuras are creating a black smoke all over the world. But you cannot counteract them. Why? Because it is the will of the Supreme Lord Vishnu that these two, Jai and Vijay, they appear in the form of demons. And they are going to create a great havoc, which we will get to watch. But you will not be able to overpower them or counteract them. So Prabhupada says, no one can surpass the acts of the Supreme Lord. So Lord desires something that is bound to happen. And the demigods were also advised not to try to counteract this incident because it was ordered by the Lord. Actually, as we said once earlier, in one of the classes we were discussing, how the Lord is called as Adbhuta Karmanaha. Adbhuta Karma means in one shot he does many, many activities. Generally, we find like the Sudarshan Chakra is called by a certain name by Ambarish Maharaj. Adharma Sheelasura Dhuma Ketave. He says, adharma, shila are the asuras. Adharma, shila, asura, dhumaketava means inauspicious comet. O Sudarshan, you become like an inauspicious comet for the demons. He says, you become a danger for demons. Just like sometimes in the newspaper you read, you know, some comet is coming towards the earth and it is going to collide and will lead to some very large-scale destruction. Is it not true? You hear about that sometimes. So similarly, some comets are considered auspicious, others are considered inauspicious. So, but the demons, the Sudarshan is considered inauspicious because the chakra has multiple meanings. One meaning of the Sudarshan chakra is the wheel that cuts all the anarthas to pieces. Kama, krodha, madhulava, moha, matsarya, in which the asuras thrive in. And the chakra also is kala, represented in the form of a wheel. Kala chakra is also the Sudarshan chakra. And Sudarshan is also the servant of the Supreme Lord who destroys all the demons. Because the chakra and the gada, these two things Lord has, especially he is keeping, holding it for the demon's sake, for giving treatment to the demons. So, in this way, in general, the Shastras talk about how the Lord protects his devotees and kills the demons. And that is his supreme will. He, like we say, paritranaya sadhu naman vinashaya cha duskritam. Whereas here, we seem to be hearing something opposite. We find that the Lord is sending the demons and they are overpowering and the demigods. And it is said that it is Lord's will. How can it be Lord's will that the asuras are overpowering devatas? And Lord's will is that the devatas should overpower asuras. In fact, the devatas were provided with amritam at the end of the Samudra Manthan Leela by the Lord himself, knowing well that the devatas are the upholders of the Brahminical dharma all over the universe. Protection of the cows and study of the Vedic literature and all the Brahminical culture is protected by the devatas, headed by Indra. So devatas are supposed to be protected and asuras are supposed to be destroyed. Whereas here it says it's the will of the Lord that the asuras are going to flourish now, subsequently, and the devatas are put into trial. And they are in a great stage of despair. And Brahma is telling, it is no use for you to lament now, because it is Lord's will, he says. Why is it Lord's will? That is explained in many places in the Shastra. Sometimes the demigods, they become complacent in their piety. When Lord sees that there is a complacence amongst his mixed devotees, demigods, the Lord wants to remind the demigods that this material world is not a placement for any gentleman. You know, you can't be so cozy and comfortable in the material world. So he creates some kind of, he creates a situation where the demigods understand that even the Nandanandana gardens and Indraloka with all the somaras and apsaras dancing and singing, even that place is not a very secure place. Even that is not a very permanently happy place. You hear in the Shastra many times the demons enter into heavenly planets also. Like once when Bali Maharaj along with all his associates entered into Sargaloka, and all the demons had to take their belongings and run for their lives. In different directions they had to flee. So, which goes to show there is misery. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravatana Ujana. All the 14 planetary systems are filled with miseries in this world. So, there is always an asuric force and daivi force in this world, both acting. Sometimes the daivi forces predominate. Sometimes the asuric forces predominate in this world. So this world is a place of competition between these two forces. So no gentleman is inspired in the Shastra to stay in this world. Whereas the spiritual world is predominated by the Lord himself, Supreme Lord himself, permanently. So to give devatas some practical experience of the nature of material world. Krishna sometimes arranges such troubles in this world, so that they will wake up. Because generally you find the devatas, whenever there is trouble, they run to the feet of Vishnu. You'll find that. That is very natural for them. That is one good quality in the devatas. When there is trouble, they go to Supreme Lord. Generally, this devata is not only devata, somebody having a mukut and kundal like Indra or somebody. Even ordinary human beings can have devata mentality, demigod mentality. What is demigod mentality? You know, don't think about God as long as life is cozy and comfortable. As soon as there is trouble, run to God. This is very common, can be seen. Like the small children who go to Dastur school, they come here only when there are exams. If you find children with uniform coming here, you can guess that they have examination today. You know, otherwise you don't find them. Of course, except our BMS children. BMS children come every day in front of the Lord. Not only during exams. So, we find it's very common mentality in this world. Only when there is trouble, one goes to Lord. So, Lord wants the devatas to wake up from their sleep on the lap of Maya and then start practicing devotion service more purely, with more intensity. Offer prayer with more sincerity, more intensity. Clean up their hearts and give up their propensities for sense gratification. Develop a realization that, you know, material enjoyment, you know, is useless. You know, it cannot keep us going. Now we have to go back home, back to Godhead. He wants to wake them up. Another reason the Lord performs Leela with asuras, demons. While performing such Leelas, the Lord keeps his devotees by his side. And also, you find the role of the devatas. You can draw a comparison one to one between how the devatas behave, how the Lord's devotees behave when the Lord is interacting with some demons. Like when the Lord is about to kill Hiranyaksha, how the devatas are behaving, even Brahma himself. Even Brahma was telling Lord Varaha that, my dear Lord, the sun is about to set, and once the twilight period is over, Sandhya is over, the asuras become far more powerful at night. They become almost impossible to be defeated. So he was begging, actually, please do not delay, enough of your play. For you it's a plaything, playing with Hiranyaksha, you know, like sometimes a cat plays with a rat or a Garuda plays with a snake. But we are not, you know, very confident. We are a little doubtful about whether you will be able to finish him. Whether you will finish him or he will finish you, we don't know. They were a little doubtful about the Lord's prowess. And Hiranyaksha is fighting, and the devatas are all watching from the Akash Mark, from behind the clouds. Occasionally, Hiranyaksha would look at the sky, the devatas would hide behind the clouds. Because he should not see, who are the fellows who are teasing me from the top? Isn't it? Because in case he wins, later on he will come and give them a punishment. So the devatas are always fearful like this because they don't have full, complete faith in the Supreme Lord. And the complete faith is not there because of material desires, because of desire for material enjoyment. That full faith is not there. So they have partial material shelters and partial shelter in the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, you find pure devotees like the cowherd boys in Vrindavan. They are marching into the mouth of Aghasura without any fear. While the devatas in the sky are fearful whether Lord will be able to kill Aghasura or not. You find cowherd boys, even before Krishna entered, they all entered. In fact, Krishna had to enter to get the cowherd boys out, you see. So, our acharyas have drawn these lessons, very important lessons for us from these pastimes, to teach us that we should not be stuck on the platform of mixed enjoyment, mixed devotion, mixed with material enjoyment. We should not be stuck on that platform. We should try to purify our quality of desires and elevate the quality of our desires and then bring it to a point of having no material desire and fully surrendering to Supreme Lord. You see, like one devotee was asking our Gauranga Prabhu that, see Prabhuji, even after becoming a devotee, The old mentality is not gone. You know, still one wants to say, I distributed this many books, that many books. Why people are so fruitive in their approach? So Gaurav Prabhu said, what's wrong? Earlier they used to count the cricket scores, now they are counting book scores. This is an improvement in quality of desires. Initially you just want to take a cricket and bat the ball again and again, running one place to another. Yeah, isn't it? And then he says, I got this many sixers and this many scores and all that. Whereas now at least he is doing something for Krishna and still wants the credit. And a time will come when he will do something for Krishna and not want any credit. That is even more improved quality of desire. So this is an example for how we can improve the quality of our desires. So, and Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita also, Nishkama Karma, Sakama Karma. All those things he is explaining. How to gradually purify the quality of our desires. Because without purifying our desires, we cannot take complete shelter of Krishna. It's not possible. We will only take partial shelter. So by seeing the example of pure devotees, we can be very inspired and we can take complete shelter. Now, here it is said, Brahma is saying that it is actually the will of the Lord that this demon should be so powerful. What is that will? The will is explained here by Prabhupada. The Lord's will is that he wants to fight with these demons. And when Lord wants to fight, then he also wants to exchange rasa. He wants to exchange some love with one with whom he is fighting. Now how can you exchange love with someone with whom you are fighting? Generally when you fight, the fight is due to dislike, which eventually turns into hatred. And the hatred leads to revengeful attitude. And the revengeful attitude leads one to constant thoughts of malice, hurting and harming the other person. Whereas, in the Lord's heart, such negative thoughts like the revenge or vengeful attitude can never reside. So there was one lecture entitled, The Supreme Love Story. Actually, thousands of devotees have heard that lecture because the word love story was there. And the love story is between whom and whom? Lord Narasimhadeva and Prahlad. That is the love story all about. Sometimes devotees are very smart in giving attractive names for the lectures so that everybody will get to hear the lecture. So when devotees went on hearing the lecture, all they heard about was only about Narasimhadeva and Prahlad only. Why? In that lecture I heard that Lord Narasimhadeva, killing Hiranyakashipu is also out of supreme love. Of course, love for Prahlad is well known. Love for Prahlad. But he also has love for Hiranyakashipu also. That is why he is liberating him. Like a doctor performing surgery, he is liberating him. On one hand, he is showing the love for his devotee Prahlad. On the other hand, he is delivering Hiranyakashipu because of the prayer of Prahlad and liberating him also. So, Lord is the only person who can kill somebody and still love the person. In this world, otherwise you don't find anybody can love and kill. So, when Lord decides to fight, no one is fit to fight with him other than his devotees. In the spiritual world, imagine if Lord Vishnu told Jaya Vijay, come today let us have a kushti game in Vaikuntha. Imagine all Vaikuntha vasis are sitting in stadium watching. Do you think Jai Vijay can fight with the Lord? At best, they will take a lotus flower and throw it on him. Isn't it? I see, with Vishnu, it may be difficult for us to understand. You think about your own spiritual master. If your guru says, come, let's have a kushti with you. Is there any disciple who can fight with the guru? You would like guru to pound you and punch you unarmed. Isn't it? You will consider it to be mercy. Guru Maharaj, you can punch on my face, punch on my body as much as you wish. Asli Shiva Padaratam Pinashtuma. Is it not? But will you be able to punch back one punch also? Impossible. He cannot do. That is the reason Lord has to send them to material world to become demons, where they forget their original position. And they develop an anger towards Vishnu. And then Vishnu is enjoying fight. So Prabhupada writes, actually this kind of explanations are wonderfully given by the acharyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line based on the Shastras. And most of the religious people in the world, they are not capable of reaching a level of understanding of God realization where one can be so intimate with Lord. One, this kind of pastimes which are explained, Prabhupada explains about how Lord arranged for Bhishma to fight on the Kaurava side so that he can experience the Virya Ras. Similar way. Now somebody may ask, why does God want to fight? Generally people think religion is meant for peace. Why does God want to fight? So only one who is in love with the Lord can understand this philosophy. Otherwise people will get confused. God also want to fight? We think human beings should not fight. And why does God want to fight? Actually, although we say we should not fight, you ask anybody when they go for movies, they like the stunt scene very much. Isn't it? If somebody is punching on someone's body or the face or they are making a fall off, people enjoy it. They want to see what's going to happen next. Sometimes in a movie, they show a person is fighting on the top of a mountain or something, and then the villain kicks out the hero and the hero is about to fall off the cliff. He's holding on to the end of the rock, with both the hands. That fellow villain comes and puts his shoe on the hand of the hero, and then hero takes this hand and he punches the other hand also. Isn't it? You think he's going to slip and fall down, but he will never fall. If he falls, then what is the meaning of movie, isn't it? Then you will find, then he will come with the second hand, then he will put his leg, then second leg, then he'll climb up and he'll push the villain down after that. So, this kind of thrill is most wanted by everybody. Actually, there is no movie without a stunt. Why? Because it's just like there is Shringar Ras, romance. Romance is very much loved by the living entities because there is supreme romance between Radha and Krishna. Similarly, the stunt also is very much appreciated, but it's counted as a secondary rasa. It's not in the primary five rasas, it's in secondary rasa, virya rasa. So that was Lord's will, which made him arrange these two demons to come in this world and do this kind of atrocious activities. And then Lord will fight and he will defeat them. You see, the Lord also makes all other living entities a part of his leela also. Like the devatas now are getting the good fortune to watch the wonderful activities of the Supreme Lord. You see? The demon is created. The demigods are getting a chance to pray to Lord. It accelerates the devotion service. It intensifies the devotion service. It makes them run to the shelter of the Supreme Lord also. You see? Otherwise, the living entities are dull in this world. Covered by matter. In the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, there is one particular word in one verse. The meaning of that verse is, the Lord doesn't allow the living entities to sleep on the navel of Vishnu after having become dull for all time to come. The Lord doesn't allow them to be lying on the lap of Maya peacefully. The Lord wants to wake up the sleeping souls and make them interact with Him and experience the joy of reciprocation with Him. And that is why he keeps coming time to time and taking different avatars, doing different leelas. The leelas are recorded for the future living entities to hear and develop an attraction and then go back to him. Otherwise, what will happen to all of us? Just think for a moment. Every living being, if Lord never comes to this world, we would be just dull. Life would be boredom. You see, Prabhupada says, there is a poet called Cowper. He wrote a poem where he said, God created the countryside. Countryside means the village and the natural beauty. That variety is God's creation. You see exotic colorful birds chirping in the trees and very different types of tasty fruits, different type of trees and plants, beautiful ponds, lotuses and lilies, swans and ducks and cranes and karandavas, chakravakas and all these things. This is Lord's variety that he has created. And the beauty of nature is, as soon as you go to any natural setting, like say go to Lonavala somewhere, if you see that beautiful, that type of nature, it's very soothing to mind. And the city variety is created by man, isn't it? Independent of God, using his perverted brain, by which he has also created a variety. like Disney World or SL World, or big shopping malls, you know, big skyscraper buildings, you know, flyovers, varieties of cars, varieties of equipments and gadgets and everything. So the living entity wants to give up the variety created by God and wants to enjoy variety created by man. Similarly, there is a spiritual variety in spiritual world. And there is a material variety in material world. So when the living entity wants to delight in material variety, then he becomes forgetful of spiritual variety. You see? Variety is the mother of enjoyment. But which variety will give us everlasting satisfaction? A spiritual variety in the spiritual world. So, when we develop a taste for the spiritual variety, in the spiritual variety, not only the variety involves the nature, but also the living entities in different rasas, like the Madhuri rasa and Vatsali rasa and Dasya rasa and Sakya rasa and all these rasas, who are enjoying the association of the Lord in various ways, you see. But if somebody forgets that variety, he comes to this variety. And here also one is experiencing material rasa, in the material nature, which is which actually ultimately ends in misery. So when the Lord sees that the foolish living entities are enjoying material variety, like yesterday we saw this crow sitting and pulling out a rat and tearing the rat's body. You want to click a photo immediately. Tatvayasam Tirtham Ushanti Manasa. Only we didn't have a camera. We should actually this type of photo should be put, and we should write the quotes from Bhagavatam. So it's very surprising. How can the crow enjoy tearing a dead rat and getting some juice out of his body? You have to go and ask him only. We don't know how. That is due to the gunas. Tamoguna, Rajoguna conditions the living entity to involved in such dirty things. If you see like that. So when the Supreme Lord sees that the living entity is enjoying material variety and suffering more and more, then he enters into this world of matter. Although, you know, this is not a fit place for a pure personality like him. He is Parabrahma, Paramdhama, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. Still he comes. That is his magnanimity. That is his compassion towards all the... That is why it said... Jivera Kripaya Koyle, it is said. Kripaya Koyle Veda Puran means actually out of his compassion he comes. And then he performs the spiritual variety leelas, which he does in spiritual world, he performs here. So that we can witness them, or if we didn't witness, we can read them. And then we can develop attraction for them, and he can attract us back. But in the beginning, our response to the Lord's performing pastimes is very poor. Just like today morning I was telling you, a boy was sleeping in his bed with 3-3-4-4 blankets on in the winter season. And the door is closed, the windows are closed, and the father is calling, battering the door. Beta, 8:15 your school bus will come. It's already 8 o'clock, get up. What he says? But Papa, where is the sunlight? I don't see any sun. It's completely pitch dark. He says. But the father is saying, no, first of all, you remove your blanket, you open the window, you will see the sunlight coming into the window. And the son doesn't get up at all, he's very lazy. No, Papa, I think you are telling me lies. I am going to sleep again. And he goes to sleep. So, in the same manner, the living being also, he covers himself with ajnanata. And wants to enjoy in the mode of ignorance is bliss. He is thinking ignorance to be bliss. And he is trapped in this material body and trying to enjoy the material variety. Now how to bring him to the true knowledge? How to? Just like for example, when we were small babies also, when we would get up in the morning, what is the first thing a child does when he gets up in the morning? He cries loudly, isn't it? Do you think a child likes to bathe? Is there any child who will tell the mother, please take me to the bathroom and bathe me in hot water? Oh, generally, children don't like. They just like lying in the bed. But mother picks up and takes the child to the bathroom, and she's not going to pour hot water, very hot water. She will first check the temperature and everything. She is very compassionate and very kind. She wants to clean up the child. She bathes the child, dresses the child, puts powder and all those things. She does. So, a child is not willing, but the mother gradually cajoles the child and she gets it done, trains it. Similarly, a father also wants to see that the son goes to school, but is not ready to come out of the room. So now the father says, "Beta, here is a gulab jamun waiting for you. Please open the window." Now the son is likely to open the window, correct? "Hey, there's a gulab jamun outside." Then he'll come out of his blanket, because that is the impetus for him to come. And he opens the window, then he may extend his arms out. So he is accepting the gulab jamun while remaining in ignorance, while remaining covered. This is Agnyata Sukriti. Agnyata Sukriti means performing devotion service mechanically, without willingness to come out of ignorance. Like, you know, people come, they eat the prasad in the counter. Sometimes they hear some music sitting, you know, in the temple hall. Sometimes they come. But people generally don't do it very consciously. They like to continue with their sinful activities outside many a times, if you see. So somebody may come, your devotee may come running. "Prabhuji, what's your name? What's your address? What's your phone number? What's your email?" Some people, you know, get intimidated. They say, "Why are you asking everything about me?" You know, people say, "Just, you know, allow us to be in shanti. We'll come to temple." That's it. Huh? They just want to come and go, because they know very well, if you give you the address and phone number and email, these fellows will be behind me for the course. Then you have to join the course. Then they'll give you mala. They will ask you to chant. Then you have to become more serious in devotional service. So most people want to continue with their material life with a little enjoyment that devotion service can give them. Agreed? Correct? Similarly, most people want to keep themselves covered in ignorance with little bit of the material benefits that devotion service can offer them. They want the material side of devotional service. I mean, material benefits. According to them, they see material. Nothing is material in devotional service. So he may eat a gulab jamun and then he may go. But there is one advantage in opening the window. He opens the window to accept the gulab jamun. That time the sunlight also comes. You see? He gets to see some. He may not see the sun, but he sees the sunlight, isn't it? So there is a likelihood that he may consider that I have to go to school. I have to become an engineer or a doctor or something. Then I have to become qualified in life and become more responsible. There is a little likelihood of that thought coming, isn't it? Or again he goes and sleeps, the father says, "You see, if you come out of the room, I will give you a plate full of gulab jamuns." You know, that's the likelihood. So one may come out. And one may come out and then eat a plate full of gulab jamuns and see the sunlight and everything. Again may go back to sleep also. Sometimes there are people who come to our movement, do some devotion service, again go back to maya, again they come, again they go. But somehow, if the boy develops sufficient respect and love for the father, then likely that he may see that, oh, the sun is up and the school bus is coming, I have to go now. He takes his duty very seriously. You understand now? So, just as this boy is sleeping in the room, covering himself, the living entities also sleep on the lap of Maya in this world. Very common. 99.99% of the living entities. So, even if the Lord comes and performs Leela, they are not attracted, unfortunately. That is the greatest curse. So, sometimes Lord not only performs Leela, while doing Leela, he creates some little agitation for the living entities also. Like here, you find. The Lord is creating some trouble for the demigods also. That will inspire them to pay attention to Lord in the form of prayer. Otherwise, sometimes living entities say, "Oh Lord, you do your Leela, we will do our Leela." Isn't it? There are many people like that now. Isn't it? You see, the modern day advancement in science and technology has made living entities so proud and so cozy and comfortable. You will see that. Everybody, even people from the village. Nowadays, there are even village men and women who put tobacco in their mouth like that, they spit in the bus stop and everywhere. Now, they are also traveling in planes now, if you see. Everywhere. And they are enjoying the mobile. Even an average farmer is having a mobile, if you see. You may have BlackBerry mobile, even average farmer. Yeah. So they are enjoying the comforts and luxuries of the advancement in science and technology. And this is like a painkiller. Because if somebody has cancer, you go to doctor says the medicine will cost you 1 lakh rupees. But then nobody is willing to pay the money. But the doctor says, "Chalo, I'll give you painkiller. You take it." So doctor takes his fee, he is happy. And the patient eats painkiller and his pain is gone. He is happy. Does the story end there? No, the disease remains. Similarly, the technology, it doesn't cure our disease of enjoying mentality. It covers the impurity within. And the impurity remains. In fact, the technology has not only got to do with, you know, comforts and luxuries. It even changes our world view. The world view that people adopt is, I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. Everything is in my fingertips. You see? You know, I can press a mobile and call someone in America. I can press a button and switch on the fan. I can press a button and open the door. I can press a button and control the television. I can press a button and control the air conditioner. In this way, everything is in whose control? Krishna's control or my control? Everything, nothing can move without my will. That's what every living entity thinks. Everything is in my control. So the technology, technological advancement creates a world view that I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am the proprietor. And so it makes people materially mad. At the same time, in the name of secularism, modern day schools, colleges don't teach children about God. The knowledge about God and Krishna's control, Maya Adhyakshana Prakriti, that is completely removed from the syllabus. That is not in the syllabus. So naturally they become spiritually blind, materially mad. This is the result of modern day advancement, you see. So such materially mad, spiritually blind living entities have to be woken up. It's not an easy task. Some acharya like Prabhupada could do it when he went to West. He woke up even such living entities also. So the Lord sometimes agitates such living entities by sending forth such demons who create trouble. And then the living entities like the demigods, they wake up. And they, of course, they pray to the Supreme Lord, please help us. You know, we are being troubled by these demons. You are our only shelter. You are the protector of the Brahminical culture. You are the protector of your devotees. And then the Lord will kill the asuras. And then remind the demigods that now it's time for you to return back to me. Come back to the spiritual world, which is a true, safest place. That's why padam padam yatve padam tatesham. Those are devotees of God who would not live in a place like this where at every moment there is a danger at every step. The greatest danger being forgetfulness of Supreme Lord. So nobody would want to live in a world of forgetfulness like this. So that is Lord's will. So Lord's will is to fight with his devotees in the form of Jai Vijay, coming in the form of asuras. And the Lord's will is to agitate the sleeping living entities and wake them up. Sometimes, you know, you see a mother may pinch a child who is sleeping. A child may just get up and wake up and then turn to the other side and go to sleep. Isn't it? Then you have one more pinch you give, then you may turn around this side and sleep. Isn't it? Sometimes you may give a double pinch or triple pinch. Or a more painful pinch you may give. Then the child may get up and may scream, why are you pinching me? He may cry or whatever. So sometimes it is said, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So the comfortable means complacent. Those who are complacent need to be afflicted to be woken up. Now, you may say, just because Lord wants to enjoy something with the living entities, is he inflicting pain on the living entities? Or is he agitating the living entities? Or afflicting the living entities? No, the Lord's apparently afflicting the living entities is to bring them to their natural state, where they can be happy forever. Like a doctor prescribing a bitter medicine to make a patient healthy and happy. Because healthy state is natural state. Unhealthy state is unnatural. Isn't it? Right now our situation is unnatural in this world. In fact, in the healthy state, shoka, moha, bhaya, nothing exists. There is no lamentation. There is no fear. There is no illusion. So that happiness achieved in illusion is foolishness. So material world is called fool's paradise. So Lord wants us to bring us out of foolish happiness to real happiness. So that is also His will, His supreme will. So He is saying no one can surpass the acts of the Supreme Lord. The demigods were also advised not to try to counteract this incident because it was ordered by the Lord. This statement comes in many places in Bhagavatam. You will read when there was one Maya Danava who created three levels of, you know, platforms where he kept all the asuras. So the asuras were standing on those invisible platforms using the mystic powers which the demons use generally. And they would be sending forth arrows on the demigods. Can you imagine now? Somebody is in the up above, but in the subtle body. And from there they are sending arrows on you. And everybody is being pierced by arrows, but you can't see who is sending it. You can imagine? That is the kind of three platforms he created. When the demons are attacking demigods, demigods are all falling off. And they were, some of them are dying, some of their hands and legs are broken, and they didn't know how to attack back. At that time, Lord Shiva came in a chariot. And he, you know, took all the weapons and everything, and he tried to attack them. So Lord Shiva is called Tripurari, you know. So Tripurari means one who defeated those three platforms created by the demons for their safety. So Ari means the enemy. Tripura Ari. Pura means three Purams were created by demons, and he is the enemy of those demons. So he killed them all. Of course, Shiva could kill them, but still, what when the demons would fall off from those platforms to ground, you know, there were other demons who were picking them up and putting them in a sweet rice pond. There was an Amrit pond, Amrit kind of pond. So you dip the asuras inside, and you, two fellows catch two hands and dip him inside and bring out, and he's again having life. Again he's shouting and goes up and again starts fighting. So all the demons were brought back to life, somewhat like a Mrita Sanjeevani mantra. They were brought to life again and again. In fact, none of the demons died. Anybody who died was brought back to life. You can imagine, Shiva is one of the foremost of the devatas. Even he got frustrated. He put his bow, arrow, everything down, just like Arjuna was sitting in the chariot. But Shiva also lost all courage now. He lost all hope of saving the demigods. At that time, to his great surprise, Lord Shiva saw some amazing incident. One very beautiful looking mother cow and a calf. They both walked in that battlefield. Can you imagine in a battlefield a beautiful cow walking along with a calf? And they both came, and directly they went near that Amrit pond. And very coolly, in the daylight, when the sun was shining in the sky, they started drinking. Both of them started drinking the Amrit and emptying that pond. And who were they? They were Vishnu and Brahma. So Brahma became calf and Vishnu became cow. So this is another beauty of Supreme Lord. Whatever pastimes he does, they are very sweet also. Even in the middle of battlefield, it is so sweet. And they came and they drank. They drank off every drop of Amrit that was kept in that pond. Not even a drop was left. And this was watched by the Maya Dhanava. The demon was watching. And he told all the asuras, you know, the will of the Supreme Lord is supreme and no one can counteract it. He spoke the same philosophy, what we are talking here. The destiny that Lord ordains for every living entity is inevitable and supreme. Nobody can counteract it, he said. So, in this way, then Lord Shiva became rejuvenated, and he finished off all the demons, defeated them all. And then the demigods won that time. Similarly, here also, it's Lord's will that these two, Jayavijay, they become big demons in this world, and no one can counteract it. So Prabhupada gives a twist in the meaning in towards the end of the purport. Similarly, anyone who is ordered by the Lord to perform some action in this material world, especially preaching his glories, cannot be counteracted by anyone. The will of the Lord is executed under all circumstances. He's talking about whom? About Prabhupada only. See, sometimes a negative example is used to illustrate a positive point. For example, a contagious disease is very harmful because it spreads very fastly, rapidly. Like when there is some contagious disease, people take vaccination. Is it not? Otherwise it will spread very fast. But the contagious example is sometimes given to talk about a spiritual principle also. A spiritual principle is also contagious. That, you know, the food that is eaten by a pure devotee, if somebody takes the uchishta, and he will also develop love for Krishna by eating it. Similarly, If somebody associates with a pure devotee, like Narada boy associated with Bhaktivedanta, then he also become a pure devotee. So in the context, example is used. Similarly, here Prabhupada is amazingly bringing out another meaning in this verse. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu came to the world and they were creating a big trouble all over the world. Similarly, Prabhupada is creating big trouble for the materialists. Understand now, tishum, hitting all materialists on their nose, punching them. In fact, Prabhupada said once that if they only knew for what purpose I am entering to America, they would have finished me, Prabhupada said. Because after Prabhupada went to West, a very, very great wide range of vegetarianism came into America also. After Prabhupada started ISKCON Society and Govindas and Karma Free, Lacto Vegetarian, Sanctified Karma Free Diet and all that. Which is the Sanskrit name for it is Prasadam. Sanctified Karma Free Lacto Vegetarian Diet. That is scientific name of Prasadam. So, when Prabhupada started it in the West, now everybody loves Prasad. Like when I was traveling in the West, I saw the morning breakfast in the plains. And in trains, you find everybody having some salads. People open their box and they eat only salads in the morning. Can you imagine? Many, many places. So, Prabhupada brought about a great revolution. On one hand, Krishna conscious wisdom. On the other hand, people started waking up to understanding the dangers of smoking, drinking, drugs and everything. And many people gave it up. And different people took to our movement to different levels. Somebody maybe might have given up drugs. Somebody gave up smoking, somebody gave up illicit sex, somebody started chanting one round, or somebody assisted in the movement in some way, like that. So, when a great Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava, comes even amongst people living in a misguided materialistic civilization, he can bring about a great revolution. He can pierce through the materialistic civilization and award Krishna consciousness to the suffering souls. So Prabhupada is saying that cannot be because Prithivati Achyadi Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachar Hoipamaranam. That will of the Lord is expressed in that verse. So because that will is there, Prabhupada is saying no amount of materialism can stop or in a thwart the mission of the Supreme Lord. That's what he is saying. And Prabhupada became an instrument, a very powerful instrument in spearheading this Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada is using it from that angle of meaning. One lesson that we should know, when there is a will of Krishna, it is better for us to align with it. Work around it, align with it, always. In our life also, we may sometimes see that despite our repeated endeavors, sometimes something which you want to happen is not happening. You will see. You can understand it is Krishna as well. Despite one's endeavor for a very, very long time. So, on the other hand, if there is Krishna's will, we make a little endeavor and then everything falls in place and a wonderful thing happens. You will see that. You put little effort in one direction and suddenly you find so many others fall in place and then an amazing thing comes up. On the other hand, we may be putting all our sweat and toil, working hard day and night. You know, we may eat less, we may sleep less and work hard, but in that direction one is not able to progress. Like actually, Prabhupada said about himself, in his business, his business was falling apart. When he was doing in Allahabad and other places, there was some fire accident in one of his business. Actually, Jyotish had told him that he will become like Tata or Birla, number one man in India in business. Or he'll become a great sadhu, like that he had said. So Prabhupada saw his material business was falling apart, whereas his spiritual business was flourishing. He saw that. And then Prabhupada laughed to himself and said, Yasyaham anugrihanami harishyetaddanam chana. He quoted that. Krishna was telling me, what are you doing, my pure devotee, sitting in a pharmaceutical shop and, you know, measuring some chemical constituents. Stop this. Go to America and preach my glories. That was whose will? Krishna's will. That was Krishna's will. And Prabhupada says, I just couldn't work against Krishna's will. Krishna actually dragged me to fulfill his will. That's the purpose for which he sent me to this world. And he made me fulfill his will. That is why then that song he sings. What is that? Nachao, Nachao, Prabhu, Nachao se mate. You are like a puppeteer. I am like a puppet. You make me dance. In whatever way you make me dance, I will dance. This kind of, this is actually understanding the will of the Supreme Lord and willing to align oneself to that. Now, there is a very great risk in developing a wrong understanding about this statement. In the name of accepting will of the Lord, one can become irresponsible also. In one's material duties. Like if a boy says, Prabhuji, I think it's will of the Lord, I joined this year only full time. And you ask them, but Prabhu, what about your mother, father, your job? Do they have a own house? Sometimes I ask a boy, like one boy, his mother, father don't have a own house. Yeah, and he has, you know, 3 or 4 sisters. He has, you know, and one sister is divorced. She has come home. Yeah. And one brother is mad also at home. And the father is jobless, sitting at home. And the girls are working and bringing some money. So if this boy wants to become brahmachari, how will he become? So this boy said, Prabhuji, the best solution is I drop everything and shave up and come into ashram. So that I can just close my eyes to these problems of life. Because, you know, it appears to me I can't handle these things. I told him, you can't run away. You would be victimized by sin because you will be considered as escaping from your duty. You see? Generally, even the devotees who join our ashram, they have to ensure that parents have some land or they have some own house. They have money to feed them bread and butter till their last breath. And either they should get their sisters and all married, but if the sister is too young, cannot be married, then they may join the ashram and later on help them, you know, indirectly to get them settled. The idea is, in the name of will of the Lord, we cannot run away from our duties. Because only a person who is materially responsible will become spiritually responsible. This is said in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was also running away from duty. He wanted to give up the battle and go to jungle. And Krishna was telling him, first one has to become materially very, very responsible. In fact, one who takes responsibility for mother, father, brother, sister, family, friends very seriously and wants to see them properly settled, when he comes into our movement, he takes responsibility for Prabhupada's mission also. Then one becomes very responsible. This is my spiritual master's and Prabhupada's mission. How can I make it big? How can I make it sturdy and stable? How can I expand this good work? He can think. If somebody just escapes from the material duties and comes here he escapes from spiritual duty also. You understand? No? So, we should not guess what is will of the Lord. How do we know what is will of the Supreme Lord? Yeah, we have to ask our superiors. Prabhuji, please tell me, what is will of the Lord? Is will of the Lord that I escape from family and come here? Or I do my duties? What is Lord's will? What will my spiritual master and acharyas would want me to do in this situation? So, like for example, when Kamsa killed those 6 children, he misconstrued and concocted a wrong philosophy. You know what he told Devaki and Vasudeva? Because 7th child was who? Durga. When Durga came, actually Durga was like a small girl baby. He took the baby by the foot and he wanted to smash the skull of the child on a stone. So he lifted the child like this, but then the child flew up in the sky. And then she showed 10 hands in the form of Durga. In that shining form of Durga, when he saw, he got shocked. This is my worshipable deity. He fell on the ground doing namaskar. And he told, oh Durga Mata, I never knew you have come in the form of a child. And then he became very sober. He became very soft-natured. And he told Devaki, my dear sister, I never knew your glory. You have given birth to this Durga, who is my goddess. She is my supreme mother, whom I worship. Since you have given birth to her, you are not ordinary. So he fell at her feet also. Then he fell at the feet of Vasudeva also. And then told Vasudeva and Devaki that I promise you that I will not kill any more children. I had become very, very cruel till now. But now I promise I will not kill any more children. And then he told Devaki Vasudeva, anyway, the 6 children which died one by one, they must have died due to their own destiny. So don't think I was cruel to them. Like that you try to come up with a new philosophy. So even if it is destiny on the part of children to die, Kamsa need not have killed them. They will die according to their own destiny. So in this way, sometimes if we give suffering to another person, you can't say, Prabhuji, I think it's your destiny to get the suffering, you see. You know, I spoke to you a little strongly because I think it's written in your destiny that you have to get some insult from somebody. And I acted as an instrument for you, you see. If somebody says like that, then they get double karma for that. You understand, no? So, how the super soul arranges, somebody is aggressive, you want to kill somebody. Somebody has killed a cow, they deserve to be killed. So Paramatma brings both of them together because the same Lord is in both the hearts. Antaryami. So one person wants to do some harm, another person is to be killed, the Lord brings both of them. Makes somebody a nimitta to kill. But ultimately the person who is killing will get reaction also. You understand, no? The person who is killed got the reaction, and person who kills will get the reaction. So we should never say that, you know, Kamsa's statement was a foolish statement. Although he knew the Shastras, he misused the Shastra. And the opposite of that example is that of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Did Yudhishthira Maharaj fight the Kurukshetra out of greed? He was ready to be satisfied with 5 villages, you see. But then after the war was over, Yudhishthira was crying. See, before the war, Arjuna cried. After the war, Yudhishthira cried. Both are crying out of soft-hearted nature of a devotee. So now Krishna had to pacify Arjuna and make him fight the battle. Now same Krishna had to come and pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj not to cry now after the battle. And Krishna told both of them, you people don't take responsibility, I am responsible. In our Tamil, there is a beautiful song. It says, Pottuvar pottalum tootruvar tootralum pohattum kannanukke kannane taakkinan kannane taakkinan kannane kolai seigindran nin gaandivam eluga. Like that he sings. You know what is the meaning of this? Pottuvar pottalum, those who praise you, let them praise you. Tutruvar tutala means those who despise you, let them despise you. Pohattum kannanukke means let it all go to Krishna only. Kannane takinan, it is Lord Krishna who attacks all the different warriors on both sides and who kills them, finishes them all, because they all deserve such kind of punishment due to their past sinful acts. And it is Krishna who is doing it. So this preaching was done by Bhishma Pitama later. Bhishma Pitama told Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said, my dear Yudhishthira, you know, the Kala is presided over by the Supreme Lord. It is Lord's will that this war should take place and all the atrocious living entities should be finished and purified. And they all attain the spiritual sky, Paravyoma. And he told him that you only became an instrument. You are not the response. You are not the cause. Then Yudhishthira became pacified after hearing from Bhishma Pitama. So there also the same point is made. Lord's will is supreme. Ultimately. So the Lord's will was told to him by whom? Vedavyas told him. Krishna told him. Krishna told him, it's my will only. Krishna himself is telling. Then who else told him? Bhishma Pitama told him. Then he accepted. Okay, it was Krishna's will. So in our life also, we should be very careful not to imagine what could be Lord's will. We may not know. So that is the reason why we approach exalted devotees. Many times they can see what we cannot see. That is why we ask them, in this particular situation, how should I act? One boy became a devotee now. He joined Voice now. So he is telling, Prabhuji, now I have got practically 50, 60 friends now. In those days, you know, when I was alone, some karmi boys, they bet me up. 4 or 5 boys together, they came and bet me up. I was alone. So he's coming and asked me, Prabhuji, now can I take all our voice boys and beat them up now? They had only 4 or 5 people. Now I have 40, 50, I can beat them up. I told, this is not Lord's will. I told them that you beat them up. You see? Because sometimes we get a desire. Our desire, whether it is in line with Lord's desire, we have to see. We should not do anything on our own. So here, Lord Brahma knows very well. Brahma is telling all the... See, sometimes you know something is Lord's will. Like for example, Vritrasura's creation is Lord's will. But fighting against Vritrasura is whose duty? Demigod's duty. The demigods had to fight against Vritrasura, even though he was a Mahabhagavat. And for Vritrasura also to fight against demigods became his duty. That's why Prabhupada says, sometimes in the material world is so created that sometimes even between relatives there could be a battle. I'll just show you one verse and we'll conclude with this. See, this is 1:15:24. Prayenaitad bhagavata ishvarasya vicheshtitam mitho nighnanti bhutani bhavayanti chayan mitaha. Factually, this is all due to the supreme will of the Lord, the personality of Godhead. Sometimes people kill one another and at other times they protect one another. He's saying. Sometimes people, see, mito nignanti bhutani. Sometimes people kill one another, even brothers, family, friends sometimes. And bhavayanti cha yan mitaha. Sometimes they protect also one another. You know, some they may be embracing somebody today and tomorrow they may kill the same person. So here he's saying, according to the anthropologist, there is nature's law of struggle for existence and survival of the fittest. But they do not know that behind the law of nature is a supreme direction of the Supreme Lord. Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that law of nature is executed under the direction of the Lord, Maya Adhyakshina Prakriti. Whenever therefore there is peace in the world, it must be known that it is due to the good will of the Lord. And whenever there is upheaval or difficulties in the world, it is also due to the supreme will of the Lord. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. Whenever therefore there is disobedience of the established rules enacted by the Lord, there is war between men and nations. The surest way to the path of peace, therefore, is dovetailing everything to the established rule of the Lord. The established rule is that whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we sacrifice, or whatever we give in charity, must be done to the full satisfaction of the Lord. No one should do anything, eat anything, sacrifice anything, or give anything in charity against the will of the Lord. Like that he is saying. So, here Prabhupada is explaining about this will of the Lord. Sometimes people kill one another, at other times they protect one another. Factually, this is all due to the supreme will of the Lord in this world. And the will of the Lord becomes more and more revealed and known to a sincerely practicing devotee. As one aligns with the Lord for a prolonged period of time, then the will of the devotee becomes the will of the Lord. It becomes one. So, now the demigods are worried and in great anxiety. Brahma is telling them, don't be in anxiety. It's Lord Vishnu's will that these demons will come now and he will fight and eventually they will be killed. Till then, whatever trouble they create, you have to learn to live with it. This is the beauty of Krishna conscious philosophy, that when you know that some suffering is on the way, it is going to come now. You are aware it's going to come. Like I remember in those days I used to get ulcer during the summer season. The ulcer will start in a very small, like a pin head, you know. Then it will grow a little bit in size, to almost 1 or 2 millimeters, you know. Then it will grow and it will remain for 1 month and giving enough solid pain. And then gradually it will become flat and white and it will vanish. So it's a regular thing. It used to come. Of course, these days it doesn't come. Somehow it's Krishna's will probably. It doesn't come now. But it used to come. Almost I suffered like that for 10 years or so. So initially when it would come, I would get very angry because, you know, when the pain would be very severe, you can't do anything. You feel like just lying in the bed because pain is so severe. But over a period of time, I understood, you know, this material body is not in my control. Although I am seated in the material body, there is somebody above who is controlling this body, inflicting the pain. But later on, when I became a devotee, it became easy for me because whenever the ulcer would come, I would feel it's like Krishna pinching me. Imagine a child is getting a pinch and is opening eyes and seeing and the mother is pinching. How happy child will feel, isn't it? How lovingly my mother is pinching me because I am naughty. Like that the child can think. When child thinks like this, there is no pain at all. There is. It's much different than when you see a policeman removing a belt and whipping a man. Isn't it? So when mother is pinching, it's more enjoyable. Similarly, the sufferings that come in our life are actually designed by Krishna, tailor made for us. Tailor made means, you know, according to order. For everybody it is tailor made, exactly what is needed for us to purify us and bring us back to him. And it is will of Krishna that we endure those sufferings to purify our heart and return back to him. If you see it as will of Krishna, then suffering won't be suffering anymore for us. And or in other words, even in the time of suffering, one will be able to fondly remember Krishna and stably situate oneself in Krishna's lotus feet, which is very necessary for us if you are eager to return back to the eternal position. That was, you know, what is that? Hritva kvapurbir vidadan namaste jivita yo mukti pade sadaya pa. What is the first line? Tatenu kampam sutamikshamano bhunjan evatmakritam vipakam. Hrid vak vapur vidadan namaste. With our heart, with our words, with our body, we should offer obeisances to Krishna, knowing that Krishna, it is your will. Sukha, dukkha, whatever comes in my life, you are orchestrating these things to purify me. When happiness comes, we should think, I don't deserve this happiness. Sutama Brahmana was given a beautiful bungalow. He thought, I don't deserve this. Somehow Krishna, out of his sweet will, he has given me this wonderful bungalow. Or if Krishna gives suffering, we think it is a small token only. You could be giving me much more. That's why when I used to ask my spiritual master, how is your health? He would always give the answer, better than what I deserve, he would say. Which means actually I deserve even more pain. That's right consciousness. Even if you don't have the consciousness, at least we can say it and we can try to cultivate that consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada is using this last part of the purport beautifully to explain how his preaching is simply will of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His preaching is happening. He is completely giving the credit to the Supreme Lord Krishna. He is not taking any credit. He is saying Lord wanted the preaching to happen all over the world and he is making me an instrument. So he is just diverting all the glories that is coming to Prabhupada to Krishna. In this way, the pure devotees have this consciousness. Isha Icha, this word is used in many places in Bhagavatam. Tatai Vesha Ichaya Nranam. Ichaya Kriditu Syatam. Tatai Vesha Ichaya Nranam. Isha Ichaya means, our Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to say also, Muslims use the word Insha Allah. Insha Allah means whatever Allah desires. Somebody would ask Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, is there a program, Maharaj, today evening in Town Hall Road? And then he would say, if Krishna wills, there will be a program in Town Hall Road today evening. He will say, now you may say, "Arey, already program is fixed in Town Hall Road. Why don't you say like that? If Krishna wills, then there will be a program in Town Hall Road. Because we don't know whether we will be living up to evening. Isn't it? So he will always say like that. If Krishna wills. That is the right consciousness actually. Whatever Krishna wills will happen. Let thy will be done, not my will. Karishye vachanam mama artava. Tava. What did Arjuna say? Karishye vachanam. That is the central theme of this verse. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki.